the bless now as Darby brings us the scripture reading this morning.
So Jesus called them to him and said, "As you know, the king and great men of the earth lord it over the people, but among you it is different. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be greatest of all must be the slave of all. For even I, the Messiah, am not here to be served, but to help others and to give my life as a ransom for many." May God add a blessing to his reading.
Well, good morning, everyone, and good morning, online family. Last week, Wes spoke about there being a reason for suffering, and that's not always nice, pleasant, happy feeling. Let's go out and suffer a bit. No one enjoys it, but we recognize it as part of life. And there is often a reason for suffering. In my greatest suffering of my whole life to date, I never dreamed I'd ever have to talk about it again, think about it again, or have anything to do with it again. And that was the dream. But I'm not living the dream, because God is using that suffering of that many years ago in order to support others who actually are going through the exact same suffering. So don't ever think that what you have been through or what you are currently going through will amount to nothing, because nothing is wasted with God. So Wes touched on that last week. There is a reason for suffering, and that God, and with God nothing is wasted, and God uses all things for good according to his purpose for that thing. We don't need to know everything that God is thinking and doing, because he is God and we are his servants. So today we're going to look at finding our why. Why are we doing what we're doing? There is a reason for the why. I want to start this morning by telling you a story. It didn't happen to me. It happened to a famous preacher. Well, he's famous to me. And his name is Craig. I always get his last name wrong, but I'm going to go Grishel. Craig Grishel is a speaker. He's a professional speaker. He's a preacher and a pastor. And he is a leadership guru of sorts. How many of you, by way of hands, knows the purpose of an athletic cup? If you know it online, just put a thumbs up emoji. Wes is up the front saying cricket box. Anyone else know it as that? We've got athletic cups. We've got a few nods. We've got a few, faces. Got other nods. All right. It is a difficult object to describe. We've had cricket box and we've had nodding. It is white, triangular, and has small holes. But to describe its purpose is a bit more delicate. So here is Craig's story. Pretend I'm Craig. When I was in the fifth grade, I lived next door to a girl called Missy. Missy was in the sixth grade. She was the older woman, and she had a crush on me, and I might have had a crush on Missy. So Missy came over to my house one time. Now Craig's dad is a professional baseball player. So keeping that in mind. This day, my dad happened to leave an athletic cup sitting out in the lounge room in plain sight. Well, as you can guess, she saw it, didn't know what it was, walked over and picked it up and put it in her hand and asked, "What is this?" Before she could be answered, she said, "I know. It's an oxygen mask." And in that moment that she said that, all of the oxygen in the room immediately vanished as she put the mask on her face and started to breathe in and out. That story, yet a disgusting way to prove an important point, is you don't know the importance of a thing. If you don't know the importance of a thing, you won't know how to treat the thing. So in that regard, I would have treated that particular cup with the contempt it deserves and left it well alone. But she's a little girl, probably 11, never seen it before. So in our life, often we can feel frustrated by our situation because we don't understand our own importance. You don't understand your own importance. If you've lived a childhood of being downtrodden, no one ever saying anything kind to you or nice to you or encouraging to you, you are actually not going to think that you're very important to anyone. No matter that, you are still super important to God, created for a purpose, created for a why. You may look at your situation that you're currently in your life and ask the question, what's the point? Why do I bother? How many people have said, why do I bother? I said it last week, but it was about housework. And what's the reason? Like, why am I still doing this? If you're busting yourself doing a great job at work, but nobody ever notices, you will start to ask yourself, why do I bother? You may have rebellious people living under your care, so at times you might ask yourself, what's the point? You may have been praying for something very specific for a really long time, and now you're asking yourself, why bother? It hasn't happened. Why do I try? Why do I keep praying for this thing? What is the point? Everybody wants to know why, and that is why children ask why, because we are naturally inquisitive. We have brains. We are meant to question things. We're meant to sort things out. We're intelligent human beings. We were created to ask why, not just to sit back and go, oh, well, that's okay. All the injustices in the world have been poured out upon me. That's fine. That's not fine, is it? We are to ask why and ask our why. Why do we exist? So today's title, Finding Your Why. Anyone else know their why in this place? Why am I here? What am I doing? Wes knows his why. It's been a journey. It is a journey. And perhaps that journey for you starts today. Perhaps you've been on that journey for a while. When you find your why, when you find your purpose, you will also find your heart filled to the top. And that is where you give out of. There is a reason for your existence. There is a reason why you are here. You have a great purpose. In Acts 13:36 it says, "Now when David had served God's purpose, David was a flawed man, yet a man after God's own heart." So you don't have to be perfect to be useful. You don't have to be perfect to find your why. God never asked you to be perfect. The scripture says there was only one perfect man, and he was Jesus. There will never be another perfect man. There will only ever be Jesus. Because God can use you regardless of your flaws. David grew up, the little boy that killed Goliath became the king. In all of his life, he served God's purpose. There was no fanfare. He was actually the token kid that bring out the food for the troops who were fighting. And he was a little tiny person of stature. But he served God's purpose. He found his calling from God and served in his generation. He understood the why of his life, bless him, from a very young age. He accomplished his what, and he served God's purpose. Some of us may feel as though we've never really felt like we've had a purpose in God, that we've been overlooked by God and somebody else gets all the good jobs. Actually, tech team, can we have some air on, please? It's really hot. Some people think being called to be an officer is the prize calling. It's a prize, all right. different kind of prize. Some people think if you aren't called to be an officer, you don't have a calling. There is only one calling, and that's officership. Well, that's not true. That is not true. We are each called to the purpose of God according to our gifts, our talents, and according to what God would have us do. There is a woman in my life who thinks she has no gifts and talents. Her ability with children far exceeds anyone else's ability with children that I've ever met in my life. They adore her. All children who have ever met her adore her. And she has had to pull them into line. She has had to discipline. She has been nurturing. All of these things she thinks aren't gifts and talents. They most definitely are. Children can be really hard work, really difficult, except in this woman's hands. They just fall into line. They're absolutely wonderful for her. She works in a childcare centre and has had children crying because they have to go home with their mothers. This woman who thinks she has no gifts and talents and she brings nothing. What is your gift and talent? Maybe you don't know yet. You may be called to be an officer. You may have been called to be an officer along the way. But you may be called to sit by hospital bedsides, obviously not in our COVID world, but prior. You may be called to run into burning buildings. You may be called to keep order in the land. You may be called to minister through marathons. You may be called to sing and play and bring people to the throne of God. There's a million things I could go on forever. You may be called to be a healer. You may be called to be a cook. People like to eat. Grimace from the back, she doesn't want to cook. Fair call. You may be called to bring a smile to someone's face. You may be called to make phone calls. You may be called to visit. You may be called to transport people. As I look around the room, I can see what everybody has been called to do, and I wonder whether you know it as well. It is only our limited thinking and lack of trust and obedience that we limit what God can do. God doesn't limit. God has no limits. We limit our own abilities because we fear failure. Through this time of living in COVID-19, we may have experienced a loss of identity when our why is put on hold. When I couldn't do any children's programs, I felt a bit lost, wandering in the wilderness. What do I do now that I don't have children's programs to run? So, Heather, what do you do now that you can't touch people and be in people's space? Lost. And many, I could go on. The rules and regulations, they make us sit back and sort of take stock. Like, well, what do I do now? If you were once able to work in the family store, but you are over a certain age and you can't now, on different levels, where is your why? That might be gone for the time, and it makes you question and it makes you wonder. Maybe we are now feeling like our drive is gone and we have no motivation to do anything outside of ourselves. And I say to you this morning, what's wrong with that? It can often be very, very difficult to catch up with yourself. But COVID has given us an opportunity to catch up with ourselves. To sit, to reflect, to take stock of the question, is my why still my why, or is God asking a new thing of me? I had to decide very quickly that the time that I would have spent preparing children's ministries, I'm just preparing me for the next phase of our world. Whatever is going to happen next. Why is there such guilt attached to reflection? Why are we not allowed to take a moment to check in with ourselves, to make sure that we're still on the why path that God placed us on? Or is the path changed direction and our why is different now? So in the midst of the negative feelings that come with the closure of things that gave us purpose, let's look at those purposes. The first principle of purpose is your purpose isn't for you. If you've had a baby, you'll know that your life is no longer yours. You will no longer sleep through the night. You will no longer have clean clothes 24/7 because somebody will vomit on you or pour their food on you. Your purpose isn't for you. Your purpose is for God. It is not for you. It is not about you. It is for God. David understood this. Even when he was running from Saul in the Old Testament, he understood that his purpose was for God. Psalm 57:2, he said, "I cry out to the Most High God, to the God who will fulfill his purpose in me." He still was seeking God's purpose. What should we admire about David isn't that he's trying to find his purpose, but he is fulfilling God's purpose. If we are desperately searching for a fulfilling engagement, we must stop and consider that maybe we aren't fulfilling God's purpose for us. If we're doing something and it seems just tiresome and it's exhausting and is bringing no joy, I think your why might have changed. I think your purpose of what you're doing isn't God's purpose. Looking around and seeing in other people what we assume we are missing out of our lives isn't going to make us happy. If we are trying to get what other people have, we are not living out our purpose. What would really help us to understand is that we are created for heaven, but too often we find ourselves living for this world. We aren't created to be here. We are created for heaven. We are searching this world for something that this world cannot provide at all. That is why we must embrace our why. Why are we here? Why do we fulfill our purpose? We need to understand what our purpose is and that our purpose isn't for us. Our purpose is for God. Secondly, you don't find your purpose. You serve God's purpose. When we look at David again, he wasn't all about ticking off the bucket list. Who has a bucket list? Things I must do before I turn 50 or whatever it is. I don't. I just get on. I don't have a bucket list. I'd like to maybe do a thing or two. No bucket list though. He's not living for himself. Instead, the scripture tells us he served God's purpose. In the history of David becoming king, he wasn't in the making a name for himself business. It just so happens that that's the history of Jesus. So we know all about David. He had been given a job that he was the shepherd. Remember, David was a shepherd boy. And he fulfilled that purpose. He looked after the sheep. He tended them. He protected them. That was his purpose. Psalm 78:70 says that God chose David from the sheep pen. You know, shepherds weren't exactly delightful on the nose. They lived with the sheep. Bathing was optional. And they were men. So bathing was irrelevant. So God chose a stinky little fella out of a sheep pen and put him to work for his purpose. David was faithful in all that God asked him to do, as flawed a man as he was. Thirdly, if you want to serve God's purpose, we need to start serving God's people. And each one of us in this room and each one of you online is God's people, are God's people. We need to serve each other. It may sound basic and lame, start by serving God's people. But that is where we start. That is how we find our purpose. We serve God's people. And then those out there who don't know his love yet, they are God's people who we are called to serve. Perhaps you believe you deserve bigger and better things than just serving God's people. Some people do. Some people think, I'm created to be the CEO of everything. And that's fine, but is that God's purpose? It is God's calling that we would serve him in all the purpose that he gives us. There aren't special people who get special love and others get other love. It's all one love. It's all one God. Everyone is deserving of love. So if we want to serve God's purpose, we must start by loving his people. Whether they love God or they don't love God, or whether they actively fight you to the death that God is real, that is not your fight. Loving God's people is what he calls us to do. And Darby read for us this morning, Mark 10:45, and it says, "For the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So I'm thinking, if Jesus is Jesus and he can come to serve, then who are we to say that we are above and beyond that? God's purpose is not about how much you can get out of it. God's purpose for you is to serve other people. It's not for your glory. It's for God's glory, as David taught us. This is also how you can be successful in God's purpose. Working for God is your field of employment. Working for God in your field of employment. Even if you are retired, you still have a field of employment, which is to love and serve God's people. It might just be a daily prayer vigil. It might be phone calls. It might be visitation. No matter what task God asks of you, it is for his glory. And then watch the blessings flow. There are those in the world who long for massive churches. They want to be the minister of churches which are 20,000 or more people. And that's okay, because there are churches out there that do consist of those sort of numbers. It's when the thinking behind that is selfish that is no good. When you're thinking, I'm the pastor of a church of 20,000 people, look at me, aren't I fantastic? You've lost your why, you've lost your purpose. Why isn't loving people faithfully enough? I've been in a church with four people. I was the pastor of a church with four people in it. I didn't long to have other people other than the four that I've got, so I just loved them faithfully. God did the rest. There was a work in that church that happened because we were faithful to the four people who were there when we arrived. I got to do a children's ministry, and we had 30 kids on Thursdays come and do children's stuff with us. I even got my father-in-law once to dress up as a spy because they'd never seen him. Hey, Dad. And they were so amazed that this spy was standing at the door, because it was spy week. This spy was standing at the door and they had to get a spy card and he had to zap them in and he had to give them approval and he had sunglasses and a coat and a hat and they had no idea who he was, but it was so exciting for them. And that's how he met their parents. And that's how the church blessing flowed. Why is it not okay to faithfully love the people God gives you? It is okay. We don't need to strive for more because that is God's work, not ours. Your purpose isn't to set up life to get what you want. Your purpose is to serve God so that you can receive all that God wants you to have. Your purpose isn't one big future event. Your purpose is now, to be faithful now to the Jesus who brings the blessing. I couldn't be more thankful for this church, who are Jesus-centered and others-focused. That's how I see you. You are generous, you are prayerful, you have evangelistic hearts. And finding our way is all about serving our purpose. I don't think that I've ever asked for one thing that you guys have said, absolutely not, I'm not doing that for you. I also don't fancy pushing my luck and asking ridiculous things either. But I feel the love here. And because we feel the love here, it will permeate through all that we do because we love each other and we take that love and we serve God's purpose throughout our community. As Sharon and Wes come, we're going to sing this morning, build this house. We are this house. We are God's people. We are built for his purpose. So as we sing this morning, take the opportunity. Take the opportunity to ask God, are you still fulfilling the why that you were called to fulfill? Or in this COVID period, is he giving you an opportunity to check in on that why and find your new purpose? Let's reflect together.